Welcome to the Dreamcast Podcast. My name is Daniel Bozinski, and my goal is to help you find purpose and become the greatest version of yourself. Every week, our promise is to deliver one-of-a-kind stories of individuals who are pioneering purpose in their life. These are people I personally would have loved to have as mentors and leaders in my life in the past, and now they're right here at our fingertips. The Dreamcast guests are willing to be authentic, genuine, and human about their struggles and success. To me, purpose is priceless. And if you're looking to make an investment into your life yourself, I believe you've come to the right place. Thanks for tuning in. Now let's get started. Well, welcome back to the Dreamcast. Excited for you to be tuning into this week. We have an exciting guest, story, and show ready for you right now. You know, today's guest spends her time building luxury homes and is also an entrepreneur and CEO of Marnie Custom Homes. Her company is based in Bethany Beach, Delaware, and specializes in building beach homes, which are all built using locally sourced materials and ultra-sustainable materials as well. She is a trendsetter and forerunner in her industry and has broken the records and all the rules every single year. Our guest has an incredible sense for design, unmatched craftsmanship, and is very innovative when it comes to using materials in ways that it hasn't been done before. These traits are what makes her business thrive. She's always open and willing to figure out whatever the customer wants and needs. Our guest has received the Gold Stevie Award, an Entrepreneur of the Year for Women in Business. She's also been recognized by Builder Magazine 40 Under 40 and also happens to be a spokesman for the 84 Lumbers We Build America initiative, which promotes domestic jobs and promotes builders and homeowners to buy American. Today's guest also is currently starring on a TV show, Big Beach Builds, which is aired on the DIY Network. Her show gives us a little inside peek on what it takes to build an incredible home on the water. This will be 50 plus million people that will be seeing the show, and it's all because she said yes to her dream. She's living out her purpose, one beach house at a time. Marnie Ausler, welcome to the Dreamcast.
Thanks, Daniel. Happy to be here.
Yeah, well, let's start off with your story. I mean, you've got such a unique story. I loved our first conversation together. Why don't you tell a little bit about how you grew up and give everyone context for your life?
Okay, so I grew up, my father's a builder. He and my mom had a company building custom homes. So he partnered up with one of my uncles. So it was sort of a family business. A couple other of my uncles worked for my dad. So grew up daughter of a home builder, but I was also granddaughter of a home builder, great-great-granddaughter, and great-great-great-granddaughter. So,
No way.
Pretty much everyone in my family have been builders on either side. So my maternal grandfather was a builder. My paternal grandfather was a builder also. So and then it kind of just dates back to we just built houses and
Well, congratulations too. Like this huge, I mean, you know, Big Beach Builds, it's happening. DIY Network. Like that's huge.
Yeah, I'm super excited about it. It's been a long time coming just with the filming and talking about it. So it's nice it's actually happening and they're going to air the episode. So we're excited.
So let's start off with a few things. So I know that one of the things that's unique is you do have this past history of all of your family doing the building thing, right? But there came this kind of moment where Marnie was like, all right, like, is this my thing? Is this who I am? And if it's who I am, like, I want to be taken serious in this industry. You're a woman in the industry. So a lot of people are kind of like, hey, where's your dad? So tell us about that, because I want you to maybe in this process tell like the depths of your story, because it is so unique how you've arrived as a CEO and just become explosive growth, like epic homes. Tell us about all that.
So, well, thank you. When I graduated college, I moved to the beach, didn't think I'd stay at the beach very long. Worked in real estate for a real estate agent, updating her website and doing some technology stuff. And then started studying the market, and I became fascinated with the real estate market and who was buying these homes, who was building them. I mean, the houses that I was going into and taking pictures of were amazing. And they had elevators in them. They were really expensive. It was just a whole new world for me. So I just started to study the market and said, you know what, I'm gonna buy a house down here. And my goal is to get on the east side of the highway so I can see the ocean from my bedroom. And I saved money. I ate peanut butter sandwiches for 2 straight years. I fed cats, washed cars, worked, you know, my job, and did whatever I could, and saved up a bunch of money and put a down payment on a house. And it was,
the house is a dump. So I called my dad, said, you know, I was interested in buying this house, whatever. He's not at all supportive. He's like, you're not getting any financial support from me. So I bought it anyway and turned that $18,000 into $120,000 within about 9 months. So took that money and bought a lot. So I was still studying the market, bought a lot on the fifth block, and I knew this was a good deal. So put that money into the lot and then built a house. So then I built my first house on that lot. And then met with an architect. We designed this house. My dad was helpful in like the design, sort of the construction process and stuff. So he'd come down maybe once a month and just check on things. But I was the builder. So I was working in sales at the time and was off like Tuesdays and Wednesdays. So I'd work in the field with the guys on my days off, and then was meeting a lot of people. Yeah. So then I was meeting a lot of people, not only the subcontractors, but then also people in the neighborhood that they'd walk by and be like, you know, I'd be sweeping out the house or doing something, and they're like, you know, who are you? Like, where's your dad? And I was like, I don't know where my dad is. He's probably at work, but I'm the builder. And a lot of people were just like, well, whatever. So I was like, well, come back next week and I'll show you what we're doing this week and whatever. So I met this one couple, and they would come back every week and just really were excited about the house I was building. And I had some really cool designs inside and was just doing some neat stuff. And they asked me if I would build them a house. And I said, you know, I can't do this. I have a job. I'm really just doing this because I can't afford a builder, and I grew up in the business. So, and then I ended up selling that house for a really good profit. Bought a lot on the third block with the
money. So wait a minute. Like, I got to say, like, so you break the rules, you go against what your dad tells you, you don't use the, like, you turn 18 grand into 100 grand in nine, like, that's crazy in and of itself. That was risky. Like,
yeah. But it was,
and then you do it again.
I mean, it was,
that's like, and then again.
I did it again and made a lot of money. Yeah. So then I did it again, and so I loved my house, but I saw an opportunity. I was like, the market's good. I can do better. So I put it on the market and sold it.
But isn't that hard to build something you love and then just kind of give it away? Or it's just kind of, you saw something greater on the other end or something. What was it?
Right. Yeah. So I think, and people say that to me all the time. They're like, how do you just give up these amazing houses that you live in? And I guess because I'm always thinking ahead of like, well, I'll just do it again or I'll make the next one better. So it's not really a big deal.
That's so cool.
To me. And I mean, being the daughter of a family of builders, I lived in a couple different houses growing up. So I kind of was born into that type of, like, we'd have a house and it'd be really nice, and then all of a sudden we were moving into another one that was nicer,
right?
That my dad had built. So it's kind of the way I grew up in terms of never really thinking I'm going to pay off a 30-year mortgage. It was always like, all right, until somebody wants to buy this, or until there's another opportunity where I can get to a better location, I'm going to live here, and then I'll do it again.
It's so cool. So then what happens from there? Like, you just all of a sudden you say yes to someone that, and you start building other people's houses, or what?
Yeah, but it wasn't quite as glamorous as that. So I ended up I sold that house. I built another house. And this was now 2006.
And how many is this now? So four or five houses that you went through?
This is my third.
Okay.
So I did the first one, we called it the Wigwam, and then I did the second one, and then this is my third that I built. So I'm on the third block. It's a really nice house. I had turned down that other couple, but I knew they hadn't built a house yet. So I was still studying the market. It's not a huge town, so I kind of know what's going on. So the market's turning. I'm in sales working out of a model home, bored out of my mind because no one's coming in the door. So the market had started to turn, and this is late 2006. So I called this couple and I said, are you guys, I know you didn't find a builder, you know, can I bid on this house? I mean, I'm getting desperate because I'm like, there's no money coming in and I'm going to have to sell my house and move if I can't figure something right out. So they say, and then I knew nothing was selling. So I was like, man, there's not going to be a high chance I can get this house sold. So I call them and they're like, you know what? You turned us down. We think we just kind of moved on. So I just begged them. I'd call them once a week. I'm like, look, just come see my new house. It's really cool. It's different. You're going to like it. It has a lot of detail. So finally, like later that spring, they came, saw my house, and they're like, wow, this is amazing. Okay, you get it. We'll give you a chance to bid on our house. And I didn't even know what that meant. So I started calling my dad. And I was like, hey, Dad, I got a chance to bid on a house. Like, what do I do? And he's like, what are you talking about? This is like the spring of 2007. And I said, I think I'm going to start a construction company. I'm going to build houses and I have a job I can bid on. And he's like, you're crazy. He's like, the market is horrible. It's like, everything's like, he's like, the music has stopped. Nobody's doing anything. He's like, we don't know what's happening in the world. Like, this is not a good idea. So I was like, okay. So I was like, well, I'm going to do it anyway. So can you just show me what to do for the bid and I'll just let you know how it works out. Like, you know, and at this point I had nothing to lose. So he says, all right. So he came down, we went through the blueprints and he's like, all right, this is what you need to do, but make it like, you have to really impress them, make this amazing, like use your spreadsheet to do all that stuff. So I put together this really good bid package. It was really comprehensive and I got the job. So
like you just built that out of nothing. Like you just literally, it's crazy.
Yeah. So then I started a construction company. So I was like, all right, I got the job. I'm going to do this. This is the summer of 2007. And then I said, all right, well, I'm going to put my house in the market because I'm going to use it as a model home. I'm going to get people inside. And the best way I know to get people inside is with balloons because I'd worked in sales before. So I bought a helium tank and I'd line the streets with balloons. And then this is into the fall now. So in the fall at the beach, there's not a lot of people around because everybody goes home and back to school and back to the cities and whatever. So I'm lining the streets with balloons. I mean, for the one or two people that might see them and walk by. And I ended up, so I put a sticky note on my door every day. And I was like, I'm down the street building this house. So call me if you want to come see my house. And I picked up another job. So I picked up a job doing a major renovation down the street. So I was set for the year. I had a house to build at good profit margins. I was making 20% profit. And then I had another renovation to build at the same profit margins. So I was going to make more money this year than I've ever made with my new little business in the middle of like the worst economic crisis we'd ever seen. So then I'm like, okay, I'm going to do this. So then I met another couple. So I kept my house on the market. I sold my house that year for a profit, which no one was doing because the market had now turned. This is late 2007. The market was just horrible, right, like headed into 2008. Sold my house, picked up another house, and then met with this couple who wanted it to be sustainable. And nobody really knew what that meant at the time, but they were like, we want this house to be here for our grandchildren. So I flew out to meet with them. They lived in St. Louis. And we went over the blueprints. And I said, you know, we need to make your house green. And they were like, yeah, let's make it green. And this was in 2008. It was election year. And that's all they kept talking about on the election was like the environment and energy. And everybody kept using this buzzword of green, but nobody knew what it meant.
Right. Even when you say that, I'm like, what does that even mean? Right.
Exactly. So I get on the plane and we're at the airport and I was like, you know what, guys, like, I have no idea what this means. Like, we're going to do it, but I don't know what green is. I just hear about it all over the place and you want it sustainable. And they were like, we don't know what it is either, but you're going to figure it out. Just tell us how to make this house sustainable. I said, all right. So I went home, did a ton of research and decided, you know, the best way to do this is the U.S. Green Building Council. They've got an office in Washington. I'm going to call them and they had the, it was the LEED certification. So they just rolled it out for homes. And I said, I'm gonna build them a LEED certified house. So I had to find a green rater. And then, so I'm like, all right, well, let me call around Bethany Beach and see if there's a green rater. Well, there was no green rater anywhere near Washington, D.C., Bethany Beach. There's just didn't exist. So I ended up getting in touch with this firm out of New Jersey. They live right outside New York City. And I said, you know what? I've got this house in Delaware. Can you guys be my green raters? I want to take it through the LEED program. I want to get it silver certification. That's what we're going for. I have blueprints. And they were like, yeah, come on up and meet with us. So I drove to New Jersey, met with them, started the process of getting the house certified before we started building. So I was learning so much.
And like, why does that even matter too? Like, was this like kind of at the front end of all the green movement for house buildings? That's why there wasn't as many people around?
Absolutely. It didn't even, like, there was no one to even talk to about this. Because
so tell us,
like,
what that means. Like, I don't even know, what does that mean, green? Like, just kind of more eco-friendly in every capacity and the materials, and what is that kind of what it is?
Right. So it's environmentally friendly, like low chemicals in the materials. The design is more sustainable for air loss and energy leakage. The insulation ratings are a lot better. So all of that stuff.
It sounds expensive.
Well, all of that stuff today is now mandated. So this was 7 years ago, 8 years, was it 9 years ago, before it was even mandated. So I'm meeting with these people, and they're like, this is the way the house should be built because it's more energy efficient. It's going to save them money over time. You know, their bills are going to be lower. The house is going to be better, whatever. So I had to retrain all the subcontractors to build this way. I mean, we were recycling all the material in the house. Any waste, we'd take it to the recycling down the street, or we were reusing it and repurposing it. All before this was, like, popular, we were doing it.
Man, that's intense.
To get this house LEED certified. Yeah, it was amazing. And I did it. So I ended up building, it was one of the first LEED certified houses in the country, and it was the first one in the state of Delaware. So that put me on the map as a builder, and people would come to me and say, hey, we want our house sustainable too, and we want low energy bills. What do we have to do? So that's what I started doing, is we were just building with this energy design in mind from the onset. And people, a lot of people didn't want to go through the certification process, because they're just like, make my bills lower. Like, how do we build this house so my windows don't leak air?
Right, that's huge.
I want to make sure my duct system is sealed properly. What do we have to do? And it's like, oh, we'll do a duct blaster test. We'll do this. We'll do that. Like,
so how did all of this lead to, like, kind of? So you started just then getting a lot more jobs, right? And then, how does that kind of lead to where you are today? Because, like, now you're running this, like, multi-million-dollar construction company. I mean, your houses are extravagant. Like, the ones you build are, they're ridiculous, honestly.
Yeah.
They're, like, they are so perfect. So is that what started happening? Is everything started to just kind of build on itself?
Yeah, it was just all working towards where I am now. Like, so then I built this house on the ocean block, where I could see the ocean from my bedroom. So I was like, man, this is it. This is going to be amazing. I'm going to make this house, the design, I'm going to make it just cool. Like, it's going to be beachy, classy, and whatever. So I built this house on the ocean block in South Bethany, and then I had an open house. So I was like, I'm going to invite my entire town of South Bethany and just see who comes. So I'm expecting maybe like 80 people to come. So I sent out invitations. I think I sent out 2,000 invitations. And I ended up getting like 1,000 people through my house
gosh.
On Memorial Day weekend. Yeah. So I was just meeting people left and right. And they would meet me, and I'm like, yeah, I'll build you a house. Like, I just built this for myself. And people were floored, because they're like, you built this house? I'm like, yeah, I can tell you how much it costs. I can tell you what went into it. I can tell you the energy, you know, the efficiency of it. And then I really started to pick up business.
That's crazy, man. 2,000 people in a
week.
Like, that changes everything for you. Because now you've got people that are like, this girl's legit.
Right. And that's what it was. It was like building that credibility. And then I ended up doing an initiative to use more American-made products in building, And I became this national spokesperson for 84 Lumber. I built a house using like 95% American made products.
Wow.
And then, so I researched all that. Like, where are
Marnie, you're like another level. Like, that's like, all this stuff is very forward thinking, cutting edge. Like, it's not like the easy way out. You really don't take the easy way out.
No. Yeah. So I was never really content with just like, all right, I got a couple houses to build. I'll just do it
the way it's been done. And whatever. So that's got to be your whole hands-on approach, though. Like, you are all about maintaining a high level of like leadership and not losing touch with the details. Talk to me about that, because that's very unique that you have that.
Right. So a lot of it is, I've always been like naturally a leader in terms of playing sports and doing things of that, you know, just growing
right.
up. But in the industry, I was the outlier. I mean, I was a female. I was on the younger end of any builder, and I was a lot younger than my clients. And most of my clients, I was their kids' ages. So here I am, like,
wow,
how do I
yeah.
set myself apart? And, yeah, and then a lot of it was through that, is the attention to detail, being a thought leader in construction and design. And then I went to Duke and got my MBA, which really propelled me into the next level. So I was up on the same level as my clients in terms of, look, not only do I know how to build your house, but I know how to run a business.
Right.
And I'm going to be careful with your money, because you're spending a lot of money, and I'm going to spend it wisely and how you want it spent.
Right.
And once I got to that level, then I became just a staple in the community as one of the top builders. And then with the designs.
And you were still like the youngest
building.
In the community, I'm expecting, right?
Yeah, I still probably am now.
Right.
Yeah.
So another thing that kind of stands out about you is your, so I want to hear, like, when you weren't a CEO and you were just kind of like making ends meet and feeding cats and animals and doing all that, like it's just so funny to say those things, isn't it? Because it's like real life
yeah.
for most people, right? And now that you're a CEO,
washing cars,
like, tell me about, like, what's different about Marnie? Is it nothing? Is it just your willingness to be who you were meant to be? Like, because you've got people that are going to be listening into our conversation being like, well, man, Marnie, man, you're on national television. You're basically top in that industry. Like, Marnie, it's just, I don't know if I can be like that. But Marnie, you were the washing car. Like, talk to us about that difference in person.
Yeah, so I don't think I'm any different than I was. I mean, I have a lot more experience, a lot more knowledge, and probably tougher skin than I did when I was washing cars and feeding cats and doing other like side jobs. But I think just staying grounded is the best way, because I know how hard I've worked for this. Nobody handed it to me and said, hey, take over my company. I'm the one that for 7 years, it was just me. I've been in business 10 years. For the first seven, I didn't have any employees. So I was doing the books, the job site management.
Oh my gosh. Picking up the materials,
quality control,
like everything.
Warranty, material, all of it.
Wow.
And I was building 6 to 7 houses a year where I would just.
No way.
And work.
Like, that's insane.
Yeah. I have a lot of energy, but then to have that mental focus is something that I know.
But what were you doing with your energy before? You know what I mean? Like, I'm just trying to figure out, like, so what were you doing with your energy before?
Well, I think before I was in sales. So I was working in sales. You can work as much as you want. So I was just working all the time. I was like, I can sell houses. And the market was so good. I was just selling. And so I was really busy, and I was studying the market, studying the trends. And I would chart the trends of the real estate before you could do that on like Zillow. So I have this data, and I would use that data to figure out value of a bedroom. You know, how much is the difference between east of Route 1 and west of Route 1, like walking distance
wow.
to the beach. And I knew like steps to the beach, how much it would cost. So I could educate even my clients if they're looking at a house and they're like, well, you know, we want to build this, you know, 3-bedroom house. I'm like, well, that doesn't make sense. It only costs this much more.
So your preparation,
you're going to be able to sell
it. Was all
it
preparation. It was
more.
All like
yeah.
you literally.
Yep.
So the other thing that I want to get out of this is like, so you, I want to understand the satisfaction you get out of life now from when you did then. is it, what's different about that?
I think it's the same thing in terms of just the basic principles, and that's growth and having that growth mindset in whatever you're doing, whether it's your relationships or your career or just your personal life with your goals. So I've never had a fixed mindset of this is, you graduate of college, I'm going to live in Washington, D.C., I'm going to do this job and I'm going to make X amount per year. It was never that. It's like, I can do whatever I want, so I'm going to do that. And I'm going to constantly grow and learn and achieve and see what happens, because you can never go wrong when you're always learning.
So true.
You're always going to end up higher than you were before.
I really like the way you say that too. Growth and like the growth and the fixed mindset. The fixed mindset is destination focused and the growth mindset is journey focused.
Right.
It's like, I love, and thanks for kind of playing along with it, because I think that you really pulled out a really important truth that the Dreamcast, I think, is a principle for us as well. Is kind of like, I mean, who you were then didn't, your satisfaction isn't changed now because you're the same person. You're still as devoted. You're still as committed. You're still as energetic. You are still giving your all. And sometimes we dehumanize leaders or earners when they're at this high level like you, where ultimately you're like, hey, I'm still a person. Like, I'm still getting the same amount of enjoyment in life. I'm just doing it in a different way. It's so cool.
Correct. Yeah.
So tell me, who gave you the growth mindset?
Right.
Who gave you that idea or that concept to have a growth mindset?
It's probably from both my parents. My dad's been like that forever since, you know, he's been in my life my whole life. And he's always growing. And my mom's right there with him. She did the books for the company for so long, and then she started the customer service division. And they were always growing the business. And that's something that was never like, hey, we're doing this development, we're good. It's like, no, we're doing this development and we're going to do a shopping center next year. And then we're going to do this after that. And it was always just
the next thing.
My dad's very forward thinking. Yeah. So it was that way. It was always, what's next?
Man, that's so cool.
And he kind of growing up like that, it's like we would win the state championship in softball. We won the state championship. He's like, all right, so what's next?
Oh my gosh, that's epic.
Like, all right, you're done.
That's not normal though, just so you know. I mean, it's so cool for any kind of parents tuning in too, to be like that with our kids. It really teaches them that it's like, never settle. So tell me a little bit about,
right.
I want to hear from you when you talk about entrepreneurship and risk and kind of how to break the rules in your building business, but especially in other people, like how can they do that? And what does that look like?
So I think having the passion for what you're doing makes breaking the rules less risky. Because if you truly believe in it and you truly have the passion and you've done the research of, you know, what could go wrong with this? How bad could it be? And if you have the passion for it, you're not going to fail.
That's cool.
But, and the flexibility. So you have to be resilient. I mean, I've been knocked down so many times. I mean, there was a time where I was bidding on houses. I'd bid on 15 houses, putting these bid packages together for these homeowners. I got one. I had one out of 15. Those are horrible.
Those aren't good odds. Because those are a lot
and
of work, right?
My whole
to put a bid together?
Oh, my God. It would take weeks and weeks and weeks to do one.
Oh, wow.
And I had to change my entire plan. I got mentors. I started following people of, you know, how did you guys do this? Like, what did you do? And I ended up saying, you know what? I'm not bidding on another house because I don't get them. I'm going to bring people to my house and show them what I can do. I need to be in front of people. And having the ability to just adapt and say, you know what? This doesn't work for me. I need to figure out a way that works for me because I still want to do this for a living. I'm not going to give up. I know I'm good at this because I really enjoy it. So I got to figure out another way to do that.
Right. Man, like everything.
And it's like that all the time.
Everything about your life, though, is all like innovation. Innovate, reinvent. You're all about rethinking, reworking, restoring. I love your mindset. It's just so, it's inspirational and encouraging for me because it's kind of like anything. There's hundreds of industries to choose from, and no matter what industry you're in, there's all of these obstacles. Nothing goes the way you want it to go, right? In life, nothing happens the way you want it to happen. So talk to us about when you landed this whole thing with national television, right? You're doing all the right things, and then what happens? All of a sudden, someone gives you a call?
Yeah, pretty much. So I received some calls in the past from production companies, and I never was in a place to even consider it. I got an international MBA at Duke, and I was traveling all over the world. I was running my business. I had a lot on my plate, so I knew I needed to stay focused to graduate from Duke and make sure I built these houses for my clients. A company contacted me, and the timing was really good. I'd won a couple of awards. They saw them somewhere on the internet in articles or whatever. They called me and said, hey, you know, we're Leopard USA. We film House Hunters International, Man Caves. We have a big resume of houses we've done, or of shows we've done for HGTV. We want to talk to you. And so I was like, okay, you know, what do we have to do? And they said, we want to come down and shoot a sizzle reel. We'll shoot a 3-minute sizzle of following you around at work. We're going to pitch to HGTV. We're going to see if they like it. And if they do, you know, we'll see what happens. So I was like, okay, that sounds fun. So we did it. And then we shot the sizzle reel. They filmed me at work one day, pitch it to the network. Network loved it, and they order a pilot, like, right away.
Well, that's fast, man. Like, you're making that sound so fast.
It was crazy.
Man, that's...
It was fast. They shot the sizzle in, like, April, pitched it to the network by, like, June. They had to wait, like, for some event. And then the network green-lighted the pilot by July or August. And we filmed the pilot starting in October. So the month of September, we were just scouting houses that we could shoot for the pilot.
Wow. And to me, what's so cool is, like, a lot of people kind of want to be where you're at right now. But, I mean, how many years did you have to pay it forward for that? It's, what, 11 years?
Yeah, so I've been building for 14 or 15. I've had my company for 10. So, yeah, I mean, it's not like I stumbled upon it without having a huge pedigree behind me and a huge background from building the LEED certified house to the American made to an MBA to a successful business. All of that is just work and putting the time in and everything. So when the show came, it was like talking about it on TV became so natural. So it's just like having a client there of explaining, oh, this is how we're going to install this window. Oh, this is how the flashing works. This is what, you know, this is how we install your hardwood floor. Because I've done it for so long
right
in front of clients.
So you're like, so this is coming spring 2017, and this is like the premiere. It's going to happen. Big beach builds. It's all about your builds on these homes on the beach, correct? I mean, it's like the name kind of resembles what the show's about.
Correct. So for the show, I do renovations. So my company, I do custom homes. I used to do renovations when I was starting out, but then I just got strictly into custom homes from the ground up. So for the show, though, we do renovations. It's a little more exciting for television because there's definitely always things that go wrong. and a lot of that's because we don't know how these houses were built. So we're taking down walls thinking there's headers above there supporting it, and there's nothing up
wow
there. So it's like, oh, now what do you do now?
Right, and this is like all Delaware, or is this like everywhere?
Yeah, it's just in Delaware. It's just at the beach. So these are beach houses. So they're these old rundown beach cottages, and we bring them back to life for our clients and then, you know, for today's style of living. So upgrading the kitchens, the great rooms, the outdoor showers, all that stuff to make these houses more suitable for today.
Man, that's so cool. So I want to hear about purpose in your life because, you know, we launched a school called Pioneer Purpose, and it's all about helping people kind of create a life plan, build out a lot of this wealth mindset that we're talking about, actually. And ultimately, it's almost like what you do on a renovation on a home is kind of what Pioneer Purpose does as a renovation in people's minds and hearts, right? It's like sometimes we've got to go in, mm-hmm, we've got old mindsets, old thought patterns, and we need to kind of reprogram that subconscious thinking. And I ask you this because I want to know, if I was to ask you, like, what does purpose mean to you, what would you say?
I think it needs to be looked at from a couple of different dimensions in your life. Your career purpose and obviously building wealth is huge. But then also your just overall happiness of what do you find satisfaction in and what makes you happy. So I think for me personally, the my career is in good shape. I'm happy doing what I'm doing. I love what I do for a living, but I'm still missing a huge aspect in terms of family, husband, that type of, that other life
right.
that I do want. So I think constantly growing and just reevaluating, like, where am I today? What do I want? What would make me happy? And just always sort of like taking a step back and being like, what if, what do I really want out of my life? I'm very close with my family. I absolutely adore my niece and nephew, and I'm really close with them and my sister and brother and my parents. But I do always want more, and I want more for myself personally.
It's such a, you answered that so powerfully because it's so true. There's this occupational purpose. There's a personal purpose. There's a purpose that you find in your family, and there's a purpose that you find in society. And, it's such a multidimensional, that's what's so cool about even the program we're creating is it's developing all of those areas. But I love what you keep bringing it home by saying you just have to constantly really reevaluate. Like, just awareness brings out so much change, doesn't it? Like, just being aware of those areas that you want, it brings you to a place of searching, seeking, putting yourself in a position to have those things. So cool to hear your idea of that. And again, just kind of, this is one of the things too, is like, if you had a chance to speak to your 18-year-old self, what would you say to her in regards to purpose? Or would you talk through a purpose language capacity? Like, have you always had an idea of like, hey, you're always thinking about your purpose? Or is this kind of like, talk to me about that.
Yeah, I think, it's funny because I've always been of that mindset of like, what is my purpose in life? Of thinking like, why are we here? What are we doing? Just like on a macro scale of like, what does it all matter?
Right.
So I think to my 18-year-old self, I would just really drive home that the passion for what you're doing is what will make you happy.
Wow, that's cool.
Because you can't do it all really well. You can't focus on your career and your family with the same intensity. One takes precedent over the other. If you're growing your business, it's really hard if you don't have a supportive spouse to do that alone.
Right.
So I think enlisting those people to support you along the way, because people say, well, your dad didn't support you, but he did. He was cautious. And he really made me reflect and think, yeah, I need to make sure if he's not supporting me financially, that's fine. I need to make sure I'm not going to fail and need to ask for his help in the future.
When I think it was him saying like, hey, do you really believe in what you're about to do? If you do, then do it.
Absolutely.
Well, I'm just like blown away because I'm like asking these like four-dimensional questions with three questions in them. So I apologize, but I'm just like I'm so excited talking to you because again, this whole purpose mindset and this the journey that you're on right now, it's wild to think that really this is only the beginning. Like the things that like when you were washing cars and like feeding cats, that humble beginning. Like I think that you're gonna look back 14 years from now and be like, man, remember when I was on national television? You're gonna be like, man, that was such a humble beginning. Like, really? Like, there's, isn't there no end to this when you really kind of continue to be faithful? Because that's what I'm hearing as well. And like, when you say yes to building someone's house, that's great. But getting on the other side when they write that check and they're happy about it, that takes a lot of faithfulness to your product and your brand. Tell me about your brand quick too. Tell me about like that commitment to that excellence in brand.
Yeah. So my brand, our biggest, we have a lot of values in terms of the way I like to run my company. And with the subcontractors that are in the field doing the day-to-day work, to my treasurer, to selections, to job site management. So I have different facets of my brand, but we all have the same values of the integrity and the quality and then the commitment to excellence. Of I won't tell a homeowner, it's impossible to do that. We can't do that. It's like, okay, we'll figure it out. Yep. I don't know how to do it, but I'll figure it out and we're going to make this house amazing for you. And that having that attitude of always that open mind of if this is what this customer wants, we're going to do it. We're going to figure out how to do it. And I'm going to be excited about it because I've never done this before. And staying at that level of not getting burned out with the amount of work that you have to do is the key.
Yeah.
Because a lot of people would say, oh, my last builder said, no, I couldn't do this. It's like, you know, and I could get, I know why, it's because they're tired.
Right.
And they're tired of making changes, and they're tired of doing this, and they're tired of having to come up with new ways to do it. So I think making sure you can stay fresh.
So how do you do that? Because that's like what you just said is key for any industry, whether you're a lawyer, whether you're an accountant. It's like, well, I could save them this much more, but it's like, I mean, I'm already getting paid and it's a little bit more like every area you're talking about. How do you do that? How do you stay fresh? Because that's cool, man. That's huge.
Yeah, so me personally, what I was able to do to keep that, because I could see it in myself of like, I'm tired. I'm worn out. I don't want to, you know, have a meeting today, talk about this stuff. So I hired people to do what I didn't love to do and what I was getting burned out on. Cause then you get that fresh energy in, and I don't have a big company, but I'm able to delegate things that to keep me focused on what I love to do and what I'm best at. And a lot of that is the innovative designs and working with the customer and keeping a lot of people motivated throughout the process. And so that has become more my role today with my company is you can't, because I know how I get burned out. So I have to make sure I don't do that to my employees. So everybody pretty much has a pretty good handle on what their job is. They overlap a little, but if you put too much on their, if I know if I put too much on their plate, it'll happen to them.
So cool. Well, Marnie, like we got to, you know, wrap the show up here. I'm so loving this conversation and time together. Looking forward to hopefully getting to do it again as well. But like, I mean, to end the show, why don't you give us a little quote or mantra you live by and then tell us why you live by it?
Well, it's actually a prayer, and I need to go up and read it off of my watch. It's kind of long. But the basic premise of it is that you're meant to be here today. So whatever your purpose is, there is a purpose for you. And today is the day that you can make it happen.
That is so cool. So, and purpose is in it. Like that's epic. Like that couldn't be better. Well, Marnie, thanks for sharing that with us. Why? So tell us too, again, just to kind of wrap it up, like why is that so empowering for you? Do you really read that daily?
I do. It's on my bedroom wall. It's just a reminder of, I mean, you can have bad days, but to always just think big picture. Like, yeah, I might have a bad day today, but tomorrow is a whole new chance. I'm gonna have a better day tomorrow. And there's a lot of people who have bad days. So you're not alone in this, basically.
That's so cool. Marnie, thanks again. Thank you so much for being on the Dreamcast, being real, relevant, raw. I appreciate you showing up and giving it your all.
Thanks, Daniel. I appreciate it. Thanks for having me. It's my pleasure.
Well, you've just listened to Marnie. Watch the show on the DIY Network. It's going to be an awesome show. Can't wait to see that happen. Also, I love kind of ending this Dreamcast with the same challenge. You know, you might have had a bad day yesterday or maybe even today, but the reality is just like she said, today has a purpose. You have a purpose. You have a dream. You are meant to lead your life with purpose, on purpose, for purpose, from purpose. So go out, go after it, give it your all. Don't give up, don't let down. And again, thank you so much for taking this time to invest in yourself on the Dreamcast podcast. We'll see you next week.